We're in the longest chapter in the Bible today, the 119th Psalm. We're going to start reading in verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Back in 2008, a prominent presidential candidate spoke some unfortunate words that quickly raised the hackles of many people who heard them. While speaking at a fundraiser on the West Coast, he suggested that when people in the Midwest become bitter about life, they, quote, cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them, or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations. As often happens, the story was passed around the internet, and some people started substituting the word Bible for religion, so much so that I actually used that wording to find the quote on Google. Now, to be sure, it does say religion and not Bible, but it's still a very unfortunate statement. Just take a look at what it's actually saying. It's saying religion is just a crutch used by angry, bitter people to explain their horrible circumstances, and it belongs in the same list as violence or bigotry. You know, the really unfortunate part about this whole thing is just how prevalent that kind of thinking actually is. People who choose to live decent lives in harmony with the Bible are often portrayed in the popular media as unsophisticated simpletons who need a book of fairy tales to get them through life, because they're not smart enough to live like the people with liberal arts educations who live in New York or Los Angeles. But that kind of intellectual snobbery demonstrates a tragic ignorance of the facts. Take a careful look at some of the brightest minds in the history of Western civilization, from Isaac Newton to Abraham Lincoln and Noah Webster. These guys were brilliant students of the Bible. In fact, Noah Webster, the man who gave us the American Dictionary, once said that education was useless without the Bible. And he wasn't just pulling that out of a hat because he was scared and frustrated with his life. He actually knew something that most sincere students of the Bible discover. There's almost no better food for the human brain than the Word of God. The entrance of your words gives light, the psalmist writes. It gives understanding to the simple. As it turns out, the Bible is anything but simplistic. It's actually some of the very best food for thought available. It expands our mental horizons in ways that are vastly superior to other books. Anybody who is honest with the text of the Bible quickly discovers, in spite of what they've been told, that it's not a book of fairy tales. It's not a paint-by-number set of instructions for those who don't know how to think for themselves. The Bible deals with the loftiest themes ever debated in front of any university classroom, from human morality and ethics to human existence and the meaning of life. And it does it in such a way that it leaves the great philosophers in the dust. The simplest minds among us can easily grasp the Bible's principles, and at the same time, the Bible provides enough material to keep those who have a more academic bent contemplating what it says for the rest of their lives. Furthermore, I've noticed that quite often, among those whose minds begin to slip rather badly in the last years of their lives, the passages of the Bible that they've committed to memory still seem to be there, almost as if they're stored in a separate compartment of the mind. Some days these people might not remember who you are or where they live, but the Bible passages they've learned continue to play a role in their thought process. And what about the nun studies a few years back, where it was discovered that nuns had a much lower incidence of Alzheimer's disease than the general public? They strongly suspect it has something to do with their study habits and the ongoing exercise of their gray matter. Then look at what happens to us as a civilization when the Bible loses its role as a general moral compass. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'm by no means a proponent of mixing church and state. But at the same time, I can't help but notice that when the Bible made its exit from the classroom, and subsequently from millions of Americans' lives, it could hardly be argued that our collective level of intelligence went up. We used to have a yardstick, an inspired threshold that kept our thoughts operating on a very high moral plane. But now for many people, the yardstick is gone, and the general tenor of human thought has been slipping. We seem to exhibit a tragic mediocrity in our thoughts, in our morals, and in our deportment. Is that a coincidence? Maybe. But it is worth considering. Maybe Noah Webster was onto something. Maybe he understood what the psalmist is trying to tell us. The entrance of your words gives light. Which of course means that letting God's words into your mind is going to be a better way to live.